So for someone that's training for a marathon, you know, what does a typical week look like for you? And I know it changes as you progress, you know, getting closer to the race day, but, you know, just in general, how many days per week do you run? Are there days that you do cross training? Can you just share that so folks kind of get an idea of what it looks like?
Yeah, right now I run about 4 days a week. And that's a good balance for me. I cycle 2 days a week and then I have a rest day where it is a real rest day. I have no structured workout. A lot of times I do some stretching, yoga. I might go hike with my family, or even just go for a walk. But there's nothing structured, and I have grown to love a rest day. I didn't used to. It used to stress me out because I was in this mindset of I was, you know, 265 pounds. I don't want to go back to that. And if I don't work out every day, will I? And I've really learned over the last year more about resting my body and taking care of it. And I'm not going to gain 125 pounds in a day. So I've had to learn that. But that's part of the mental part of, you know, the weight loss surgery.
Hi, welcome to the Active Bariatric Nutrition Podcast. I'm your host, Kim Tirapelli, a bariatric sports dietitian, and I help post-bariatric clients achieve their fitness goals through better nutrition and addressing the problems that come from typical bariatric and sports nutrition advice that just don't work for an active bariatric lifestyle. Welcome to another episode of the Active Bariatric Nutrition Podcast. I'm your host, Kim Tirapelli, bariatric sports dietitian. Today, I am so excited to have on bariatric endurance runner Jen Borwinkel, also known as Jen Runs to Fit on Instagram. Jen is a bariatric patient who had gastric bypass surgery in January of 2019 and has lost and maintained over 125 pounds for the last 5 years. She began a fitness journey that led to becoming a marathon runner, and that has helped shape her as a running coach and personal trainer. As a social worker, she understands not only the emotional and mental health aspect of a fitness lifestyle, but the ongoing balance of physical, mental, and overall health. Jen is a busy mom of two who works full-time, coaches part-time, and trains for her own races. She's an advocate for finding balance and making time to invest in yourself. Thanks so much for being here today, Jen. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Yeah, cool. I'm so excited. I love, especially with marathon running, which I think is such a challenge, especially after a gastric bypass. Like, I really want to dive into, you know, how you've been able to do that in terms of your training and your nutrition. Because I get a lot of questions from endurance runners, you know, like, how am I going to be able to fuel for this? So I'm so excited to, you know, kind of get into that today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm ready. I'm excited too.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about, you know, what led you to having bariatric surgery and how has it changed your life?
Yeah. I went, you know, through adolescence and young adulthood, I really struggled with my weight, just back and forth, up and down, and I'd gain and lose the weight and gain more and lose more. In college, I lost a decent amount and then gained it all back. And then I went through this period of like an infertility journey, which I did end up having my two children, but a lot of losses in there too. And I really struggled with then losing the weight after I had my last child in 2017. So around the summer of 2018, I started working with a hospital weight loss program, which ultimately then led me to having gastric bypass in January of 2019. And so I was also the child of a parent who passed away when I was 11, and I know what that felt like. I did not want that for my kids. And so that was a huge driving force. I always joke because in the beginning it was like, I want to be skinny, you know, like I want to lose this weight. But it really just morphed into understanding the health part of that and that component in my life and being able to have an able body and do the things that I love to do, that I want to do, that I want to do with my kids and them to see me do. So it's really just like evolved and kind of been a whole mindset switch from I want to lose this weight and be skinny to I really just want to be healthy and live as long as I can, as healthy as I can. So that's kind of how it really just evolved. But
I love that.
No, that's so awesome. And I've heard that so much from folks is just, you know, that mindset shift of like, yeah, initially, you know, it's all about kind of, it's exciting to see the number on the scale going down and how much better you're feeling. But then in the long term, it turns into, you know, other things and other areas that you can now do and really explore, you know, like you in terms of becoming a marathon runner. Were you like a runner before you had surgery?
No, I was absolutely the person getting out of gym class to not run. But as my fitness journey continued, so I would have had weight loss surgery in January of 2019. I ran my first 5K November of 2019. So I definitely got the bug, but then COVID hit and it was like, now what? So my first marathon I was half marathon I was registered for was actually canceled that fall. But then the Flying Pig from Cincinnati had a virtual one. So I did that. So that would have been my first like official half marathon. And then a year later, I ran my first marathon on my 35th birthday in July of 2021. So it really just evolved over time, but no way was I ever a runner before then. Quite frankly, when I had weight loss surgery, I weighed 265 pounds. So there was no running for me. And I understand like many people do, but I just was not going to be able to do that. But yeah, so it really evolved over time and really like I was at a point where I was like, I can do this. I want to do this. It always intrigued me. And so it really just evolved over time. And I was actually out for a walk one day with my youngest in a stroller and I was like, I'm just going to do it. And I started by pushing him in the stroller. So.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool. And I wanted to kind of back up real quick. Yeah. So you also have had gone through a plastic surgery. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that journey?
Yes, that was, you know, when you gain and lose a lot of weight, I also had a very large chest growing up. I developed very early. And then the constant weight gain and weight loss. My first plastic surgery was actually in 2020, which was a breast augmentation and lift. And for me, that was just such a, more of like a, just a personal type of just being so uncomfortable with that part of my body. And that the self-confidence that I got from that surgery, I was just like so happy. I knew having a tummy tuck was going to be later down the road because I was still losing some weight too. And so then that following year, I did have a tummy tuck. And then the one I just did in October of 2023 is the final chapter of the plastic surgery journey was my arms. And I put it off simply because of running and not being sure that I really wanted to do it. And then finally, you know, when you have the excess skin and after weight loss, a lot of people do have that excess skin. And with running specifically, I mean, I would have like rashes and chafing just under my arms. And when I finished the Chicago Marathon in October, my arms were actually bleeding from running. And I had already had my plastic surgery scheduled for the end of the month, but you know, it was really just leading up to that was like the final straw. But even when you're running and it was like this constant awareness of, are the people behind me looking at that? Are they looking at my arms flapping? Just that kind of stuff. So, that was the final one. And I'm very glad that that part is over.
Yeah. So like after you did each surgery, how long did it take typically for you to get back to doing some movement and, you know, that process?
The breast augmentation took a while. I had some issues healing with that. And so, and then with the implants and your arms pumping, you really do, you've got those chest muscles and everything. And so I want to say it was close to five months before I was really back to running at a normal, the way that I wanted to be. And then the tummy tug was probably close to the same. There's a different kind of pressure and tightness that comes with that. And it felt a little awkward for a while, but it was great to not have that either. So it's like you kind of balance out, you know, you're losing one and gaining another, but it equals out and it's worth it. Yeah. The arms, I'm just now getting back to that. I'm just now getting back to running. But it's already been interesting to be able to run and not feel that even in, you know, with my t-shirts or my clothes. So it's been exciting, but it's taken some time.
Yeah. I know I've had other, you know, guests that'll talk about, you know, they've had their plastics journey and it does. It's kind of like, you know, it's two steps forward, one step back, but then you're able to kind of really propel yourself without, you know, the things that were causing issues prior. Now you can, you know, move on and do other things. And it sounds like that's been a helpful, you know, that the surgeries have helped you to be able to do what you want ultimately, which is the running journey that you've been on.
Absolutely. I would do them all again in a heartbeat. So it really has. And there's a
self-confidence. Sharing that.
Yeah, there's a self-confidence thing that comes with it too. When you lose that amount of weight, you want to feel good in how you look. And right. Some people can embrace the excess skin, and I'm jealous of that, quite frankly. I couldn't, which led me to, you know, multiple rounds of plastic surgery. So, sure. You know, everyone has their own journey there, and it was the best option.
Yeah. Well, we talked a little bit briefly already about kind of how you got into running, but now you're a running coach. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, this part is so exciting for me because it's been on my heart for a really long time. As a social worker at heart, it's been on my heart for a really long time because, you know, I've had my Instagram account since before I had weight loss surgery, and there's a lot of people who want to run. I get questions every day. You know, how'd you start doing this? And how do you keep doing it? And how are you, you know, taking care of yourself and doing it? And I just kept thinking, like, there's so many people in the weight loss surgery world who need that help, and they need a coach that understands that part of it. So it was really weighing heavily on me, on my heart for a long time, but it was really just the time commitment. When was a good time for me to move forward with something like that? You know, I do have my two kids and I do work full time, and I've been working with my own running coach, which made a world of difference in my life and running for me. I would not be where I am right now without having my coach that I had over the last year. So I wanted to do that for someone else, and I knew I could do that for someone else. And so while I was down recovering from plastic surgery, I was like, this is the perfect time. I'm not doing anything else. I'm not training for anything. So I went forward and I got my certification to be a personal trainer. And then I went further into that and got my certification with the VO2 distance endurance running coach. So I was able to accomplish both of those while I was just kind of healing from my arms and working out a plan to start then working with my running coach, under Rise and Rain. So it really was like a full circle moment for me to go from like wanting my own coach to now being able to coach others and still have my own coach, because coaches do need coaches. And, yes. And just see that really just come back around full circle. And that's really how it evolved. It's just really wanting other people to feel the way that I feel about it too, because everyone deserves to feel that way. So.
And so as a running coach, do you help them like develop their training program? Kind of what's your role?
Yeah. As a running coach, a lot of times people are coming and they've got a specific race in mind, a specific time in mind that they might be reaching for. They might even have, maybe it's not a marathon, maybe it's a 5K or a 10K, or they want to get faster, or, you know, maybe just feel more comfortable with running it in general. So really it's basing like their plan off of whatever their goals might be. It might be a marathon, and a lot of times it is a longer distance running a race of a longer distance, but sometimes it's just being a stronger runner, and gaining that strength to prevent an injury as they continue to train or, you know, get older and those kind of things. And so it's really figuring, it's very specific to them, their bodies, their goals, what they want to see in their future as a runner, and as an athlete, and developing their plan to help them get to that goal. And I was able to do that myself, following the exact same kind of structure with my coach, and learned a lot that way. So there's a lot out there, and a lot to learn, and it's been great.
Yeah, I love that, because I know I talk a lot about, you know, obviously I work with clients on their nutrition after bariatric surgery for, you know, folks that have specific training and fitness goals. And I always talk about the important role of, you know, it's okay to ask for help, you know, and a running coach, you know, is so helpful. I know when I ran marathons back many years ago, I had a coach because I didn't know how to run a marathon. I played soccer growing up, you know, so I ran, but I didn't know like what, how many miles per week? How do I structure the buildup of the mileage over a certain time period? You know what I mean? I didn't know how to do that. And so point of that is I just always encourage folks, you know, especially for those out there that are listening that, you know, or maybe they do want to jump into training for something, you know, whether it's a 5K or a 10K or beyond that even. Yeah. And I think having a running coach and even, you know, back when I did it, I ran with a group, which I thought was helpful because I kind of, you know, ran with a lot of fun people and met so many nice folks in the community in running. But I just thought the coaching was so helpful because it just saved me a lot of time, reduced my risk of injury because I wasn't just running haphazardly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's so helpful.
Yeah. Just to have that structure and to know what your workouts are and, you know, balancing out those hard workouts with the easy running and really when you need to rest and all of those things that just go together that I know before I had a coach, I never thought a thing about it. I ran every day. I was like, the more I run, the better I'm going to be. I'm going to run every day.
Right.
I had no idea. I mean, I would be downloading these plans online. I didn't know. And a lot of people do that, you know, but I got to a point where I was like, it's time to really invest in this. It's important to me and I want this and I need to make it a priority. So yeah, it's been great.
I love that. Well, tell me a little about just for those listening. So say that someone wants to maybe think about training for a marathon. In your experience, how did you build up to training for a marathon? For example, did you start with some smaller distances and then at some point say, you know what, I'm going to jump into this marathon distance? Kind of tell us a little bit about how you progressed over time to increase to, you know, training for a marathon.
This is like my favorite story to tell because I didn't know how to be a runner when I started. Like I said, I was walking my child in a stroller and just started jogging. I don't even know what shoes I had on. It could have been anything. And the next day I went back out by myself and I ran telephone pole to telephone pole. I would run to one, walk to the next. Essentially what I was doing was running intervals, but I didn't know what that meant. And then I got to the point where it was like, well, there's a driveway. I'll run to that next. And I would just continue to add it until I worked up. I still had like a fitness watch. I had a Fitbit at the time and I would track it. So I knew I was running a whole mile. Like I just ran all these telephone poles for a whole mile, you know? And then I got to the point where I was like, I'm going to run that faster. And then it was like, well, I'm going to run 2 miles. And I didn't know the difference. So this is how I did it. I'm not saying this is the best way to do it, but this is how I did it. Coming off of, you know, being very overweight my whole life and not knowing any different. But that's what I did. And then I ran my first 5K. Like I said, it would have been like 11 months post gastric bypass. And I think it was like a 34-minute 5K, which I was so happy about. And then COVID hit. So then I had another 5K like January of 2020, and then everything shut down. And so then it was just like me, you know, just running. I just ran all over. And then I did my first half marathon virtually, like I said, that fall. And after that, I really got the bug then after that. It was like, this is on. I'm going to be good at this. I'm going to do this. And I loved it. I think it was part of it was just, it was like time for me. I am a social worker working in child welfare. And it was like, this is a really great time for me to just be by myself and like kind of decompress the day or whatever. I just think about all kinds of things when you're out there for a couple hours. So, yeah. So then what I ended up doing, I started training myself again. I, you know, developed this plan myself, writing out a plan based off of a woman's health plan, which was wonderful. I finished that first marathon myself on my 35th birthday and it was wonderful. And I was just so pleased. My time on that one was 5:15. And then it was like, okay, now what's next kind of thing. And so then what I ended up doing was, I had another marathon planned and I was running Indy Monumental and it did not go the way that I wanted it to go. It was really bad. For a while I thought I wouldn't finish that race during it. And what I did after that, I finished it, and cried a lot. And then I hired my coach. It was like, I'm not going to do this again. So,
right. But yeah. Cause you, I mean, it's not like a marathon is something you can train for few weeks. I mean, it's like several months. How long did you train for? Like 3-4 months prior?
Usually about 18 weeks, 16 to 18 weeks. 18 weeks. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And that's good for people to hear just because, sometimes I'll get folks that are like, oh, I've never run before. I'm going to go run a 10K. And I'm like, why don't we try something shorter first and just see how that goes? Because there's a lot of lessons learned in both a successful run as well as a run that you struggle through. There's so much feedback that, you know, your body's giving you, and how did you feel? And of course, the timing and all the other things that go into that, you know, exciting experience. But like, you live and learn from fueling mistakes or fueling successes, or, you know, how the training. Oh, like I remember one time I ran a half marathon in San Diego, not knowing that the first 3 miles was downhill. We started up at this, like, I don't remember. It was like some kind of, government facility or something where we ran downhill. I had never ran downhill for like more than a mile. I don't even think I ran ever a mile downhill, but let me tell you what, I didn't think anything was going to be, oh, this is fun, it's downhill, let's run fast. Except for that your body is also trying to decelerate so that you don't fall, you know, going downhill. And my hamstrings were so jacked up for the rest of the race.
Those legs went downhill.
Oh my gosh, it was awful. So, you know, live and learn. But point is, you know, you learn from those types of experiences, I think, and that's beneficial for your next race. Okay. Absolutely. So you started training with a coach, and then she helped you to develop your, you know, your training. So like, for example, right now, are you training for a race? Are you training for any?
Yeah, I just started training for my spring marathon. I've got two spring marathons that I'm training for. And it's been a little weird for me, just recovery from surgery and then getting sick and then, you know, recently a dog bite. It was like a weird build up to this right now. And so now I'm really in a crunch time right around that like 16-ish week mark. You know, the great thing about fitness is it's not gone. It's there. It might be reduced, but it's not gone. So we're ready. But I am training for, I'm running a marathon in Toledo, Ohio. It's the Glass City Marathon in April. And I'm hoping to hit, I'm still chasing that elusive sub-4 marathon time. So that is my goal. And then this is my second year on the Cleveland Marathon Ambassador team. You know, Cleveland is about an hour north of me, but super special city to run in and a great running community. And where I live, it's a smaller town and we don't have as great of a running community. It's just small. And so I've really found kind of a home with the Cleveland running community, and it's a special race for me. And the Ambassador group's been really great. Great part of my life. So I'm excited for that one. That one's going to be my fun race, though. I'm not linking a time to that race. It's just going to really be out just enjoying a marathon.
Yeah, that's awesome. And just so people kind of understand, so for someone that's training for a marathon, you know, what does a typical week look like for you? And I know it changes as you progress, you know, getting closer to the race day, but, you know, just in general, how many days per week do you run? Are there days that you do cross training? Can you just share that so folks kind of get an idea of what it looks like?
Yeah, right now I run about 4 days a week. And that's a good balance for me. I cycle 2 days a week and then I have a rest day where it is a real rest day. I have no structured workout. A lot of times I do some stretching, yoga. I might go hike with my family, or even just go for a walk. But there's nothing structured, and I have grown to love a rest day. I didn't used to. It used to stress me out because I was in this mindset of, I was, you know, 265 pounds. I don't want to go back to that. And if I don't work out every day, will I? And I've really learned over the last year more about resting my body and taking care of it. And I'm not going to gain 125 pounds in a day. So I've had to learn that, but that's part of the mental part of, you know, the weight loss surgery. And so, so for me right now, it works really well for me to run 4 days a week. My long run is on Saturdays, and this will be broken up into, you know, easy running. There's some running where we've got more quality sessions that have speed work or hill work in them, and then the cyclings to cross train. This is my first year teaching a cycling class, so that should be really interesting and fun.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so I do like that, and, you know, work all those muscles well. And then I strength train usually about 2 days a week. Sometimes it's a little more, but it just depends.
Yeah. And what do you think the role of cross training is? You know, I've have so many folks that, you know, that I've worked with in the past that, you know, were runners, and they don't want to get in the gym because they're afraid that if they gain muscle, it'll slow them down. Can you speak to that a little bit about why you do it?
It makes me stronger. I feel like a stronger runner. I mean, when you've got that muscle and you've got that lean mass already built, you're going to be stronger, and that body's going to carry you further. you know, you've got your muscles well fed, they're stronger, you can't go wrong there. I don't necessarily notice a difference for me in the fact that like you're going to gain all this weight because you're lifting. I actually, when I'm lifting more, I notice that I'm losing a little bit more compared to running and training for a marathon where I might be gaining while I'm training. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a common misconception too. And I know for me, that happened to me initially. And I'm like, what's going on? I thought I'd lose weight. So yeah, that definitely, I mean, preventing an injury when you're a runner or an athlete in general, or just anybody that wants to become stronger or be active, strength training is really where it's at.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm so glad that you said those things. That's why I ask, because I promote it so much, you know, resistance training, especially after bariatric surgery, when we've gone through that rapid weight loss phase, and we do oftentimes lose muscle mass. And the key to long-term, you know, health, mobility, flexibility down the road, and just, you know, overall being able to do things you want to do is being, you know, strong and being able to have that increased muscle mass, as you just said. It helps prevent injuries, especially for marathon training where you're just putting in a lot of mileage. Yeah. And I love to hear too that you do the other, you know, the cycling days, and then you take a day off, because yeah, more is not always better. It's just more, you know, and so your body does need that healing. And I also wanted to just tap into that. So I do get that question a lot, you know, which is, hey, I started running, why am I gaining weight? And you know, usually what I explain to folks is that, you know, with of course putting on more mileage, you do have some inflammation that occurs after long runs that can draw water into the cells, seeing a, you know, number on the scale go up. Increased carbohydrate means more glycogen stores, which draws in water. You know, can you speak to kind of what happened with what you felt like was your journey in that respect?
Yeah, I think it was probably all of that. I naturally do retain a lot of water just in general, and I always have. And so I think that played a big part of it for me. But I mean, it's not uncommon when I'm in the middle of a training cycle for a marathon, I'd be up 5 pounds or even potentially 10 pounds potentially.
Sure.
But I think that I do eat a lot more carbs definitely when I'm training, and that's part of it. They sit heavier in your body. I mean, that's what I notice. But I eat more, I'm hungrier.
Absolutely. Stimulate. So, yeah.
I think all of that just kind of goes into, you know, into everything. And at the end of the day, I will say once my race is over and I'm back to not training, it comes off just as quick, but
sure,
but it's still, if you've come from a point of having that weight loss surgery and losing that weight and being scared to regain, because that is something that a lot of people in the weight loss surgery world talk about, is the regain and just the, quite frankly, the sheer panic of regain and what does that mean for them? A 5 pound gain on a scale is scary.
Sure.
Even if you knew you ran 20 miles that day, why are you up 20 pounds?
Right.
Or five pounds kind of thing.
Yeah. Right.
And I think over time you would develop a better understanding of that. I know it did for me. It was really just understanding that better.
Yeah. And I think that mindset shift of, you know, too, when I talk with folks and I'm like, hey, I want to run a marathon, and then, oh my gosh, but I numbers up on the scale. And I'm like, but your goal is to run a marathon. And at this point we need to fuel properly for that. We need to, you're going to be hungrier. You need to put that nutrition back into your body because you're demanding a lot of energy, right? Because you're putting in all these miles, and that's okay. And that's part of this season that you're in, this cycle of training. And I know I always kind of talk about that nutrition periodization, which goes the same thing with running, right? Which with training periodization, which is, you're going to be in a season or a cycle of high mileage. That means our nutrition needs to increase. That means our carbohydrates, our fluids, you know, electrolytes, you know, et cetera. And then there's going to be a time where you finish the marathon. And guess what? Like you just said, weight comes off because maybe you're not as hungry. So your overall intake naturally decreases a little bit. We don't need as high as carbohydrates, you know, and there's going to be that season as well. Yeah. And I think, like you said, just learning how your body responds, the typical, you know, this is normal for me and that's okay. I'm running a marathon. That's awesome.
Right.
You know, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of folks that do that. Yep. So anyways, and then that kind of just brings me into my next question, which is just, you know, let's talk a little bit about the fueling. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how your nutrition has changed, you know, since your initial days out of surgery versus now that you're running more. How has your nutrition changed over time?
Well, you know, coming out of weight loss surgery and the amounts you can eat, it you know, when you've got your stomach, I had gastric bypass surgery. And so, you know, they say your stomach's about the size of your fist. And then you're dealing with swelling for a while. So it's actually quite smaller. And, you know, you go from a point where I dealt with a lot of dizziness, and I'm assuming it's just, you know, just from learning more, it's really just that change in nutrition and the lack, really just the lack of nutrition that you're getting at that right. stages. You know, over time you can eat more, you can, and the swelling goes away and you can see yourself eating more. And, when I started really running and trying to figure out how I was going to fuel, because if you follow the weight loss surgery world and the running world on social media, you know, you hear a lot about carb loading. Well, yeah. I can't carb load the way other people can carb load.
right. Correct.
So there's a lot of trial and error for me, and that can be painful. And there's a lot of foods that after having weight loss surgery, you can't eat. Right. And over time you might be able to, but there's certain things like rice. I cannot eat rice, any kind, doesn't matter what it is. A lot of bread, I cannot eat that. Pasta, like you'll see a lot of people who are endurance runners eating, you know, big bowls of pasta. I can't do that. What I have found that works great for me, because realistically, when you look at carb loading, it's not like you really have to eat this huge bowl of spaghetti to effectively carb load. Juice works great for me. Sugar doesn't bother me as much. So I can drink juice and I'm still getting those carbs and it's not sitting so heavy in my stomach. I can make smoothies because I've got the fruit and, you know, I can do that. Half a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on wheat bread has been great for me. So those are some things. I also, when I'm in the thick of training, that's what you see, like, I don't ever eat peanut butter and jelly unless I'm training for a race. I don't ever eat it. But it's also really interesting too, because in the early mornings or before a race, I don't want to eat. I don't want to. And I don't know if it's like a nerve thing or what it is, but you got to force yourself to eat or you're going to suffer during your race. It's either kind of like do it now or suffer later. I have found though, through trial and error, the best time for me to carb load is really about the morning before a race, not necessarily the night before. It's the morning before. And so a big breakfast, whatever that might look like, fruit, half a bagel, and then consistently eating through the day. So while my stomach's only one size, you know, a smaller size, I can eat more through a day rather than three large meals and two snacks or whatever. So then, you know, leading up to a race, I find myself pretty much just eating all day long to make up for it. So that's what's worked for me. And then of course, just, you know, carrying my fueling, carrying what I'm going to use while I'm running and the gels and, you know, just keeping that stocked and making sure that I have what I need. But it's a lot of trial and error and just learning over time what works and what doesn't work. And then you think it might work and you go out and run 16 miles and find out that did not work.
Back to the drawing board. I mean, regardless of whether you've had bariatric surgery or not, every runner has a different fueling strategy and what works and what doesn't, because it doesn't matter if you had surgery or not. If you don't tolerate this, you know, gel or this, you know, pre-race carbohydrate rich food, you don't. You know what I mean? So you have to find what works for you. I know in the years that I ran, I change things almost every time. And so you just have to find what works. Now, you mentioned carrying gels and goose. So on race day for you, you don't typically get up and have something too big on race day. You're saying that was the day before breakfast, and throughout the day before you really were cognizant of eating carbohydrates at every meal and snack. And then what do you do the morning of a race?
Usually the morning of a race I'll do, I actually drink a protein shake every morning. So I do that. And I consistently still do that. But then I eat graham crackers usually on my way to the race, and that usually sits pretty well on my stomach and I can carry them with me. They don't have to be refrigerated or, you know, anything. If I'm worried about they're going to break, I'll get Teddy Grahams or something else, but graham crackers usually sit pretty well for me. And that was actually something my coach had recommended after a run that I struggled with. And she's like, I've used graham crackers. You should try that. And it worked wonderful. Usually that's what I'm doing, or I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's usually it. And then a lot of times I wear a flip belt, and so I'm carrying my hydration, my gels, and usually a granola bar. I like Lara bars. And sometimes I'll use like a Honey Stinger waffle or something like that, but yeah. I'll carry enough gels to fuel every 30, 35 minutes during a marathon mm-hmm. or a longer race. And that's worked well for me.
Sure.
Some people struggle with those gels, you know, whether you're a weight loss surgery patient or not, they can
correct.
Be hard,
yep.
on the, hard on the belly, but mm-hmm.
yeah. What brand do you use?
I really like the Huma gels.
Yeah,
those have been my favorite. Huma. And I'm not going back.
Yeah. You know, and what I like about the Huma, especially, and I have recommended that for some of my bypass runners as well, just because it's made from a pureed chia seed yes. powder. So basically, and then the flavor, the sweetness is coming from real fruit yes. puree, basically. Yes. And it seems to be more of a whole food option gel as compared to, you know, the other brands. And there's, like I said, I've got people that use all kinds of brands. I've got people that use Morton, they use Goo. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah,
all kinds of different, it doesn't matter. Whatever works for you. But the Huma brand I have found has worked well for bariatric runners. I had Scratch Labs has worked well. The UCAN products has worked yeah. well. So again, Morton, you just have to figure out what works. And typically when I am working with folks, I'm, you know, we're trying to get a minimum of the 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrate if we can per hour. Mm-hmm. And that can come from whether that's your gel, it could be chews, it could be graham crackers, it could be granola bar, it could be from your beverage that has carbohydrates and electrolytes. There's so many different ways to fuel your body during yeah. these long runs, you know? Yeah. And what kind of liquid do you carry? Like what, do you drink just water or do you carry
Gatorade.
Electrolytes?
I drink regular Gatorade. Gatorade. Sure. Yep.
Yeah. Good.
When I'm in a race though, so I'll fill my bottle with Gatorade, but then I'll go ahead and grab water usually at every other station. So yeah. I'm kind of trying to alternate a little bit. Just depends on how the timing is and where I'm at. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to get to a point where you're struggling because then you know you waited too long.
Wait so, too long.
Yeah. I try to at each of them stop, but. Yeah, I'll carry Gatorade, regular Gatorade, even on my training runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I love that you said that because you never want to try anything new on race day. And so that's always a good thing is to have a strategy. And I think that's the biggest thing I'm hearing from you too is you've had a coach to help you develop a training program. You have gotten on top of your fueling. You know exactly what you're going to have on race day. You know, you said every about 35 minutes, you're having your gel or your whatever it is. And that's so important is to get out ahead right when the race starts. You're fueling right out of the gate. It's not like, oh, when I start feeling poorly, now I'm going to start eating. No, it's too late by then.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It's happened to me personally, but that's happened to some of my clients too. And it's like, no, this is... We are doing this the first, you know, after the first mile, it's like, we're going to start fueling as soon as you can, or a couple miles might be what, depending upon your time, yep. You know, got to get that in there.
Yep. I even do a gel at the start line. I start sure. at this while I'm waiting at the start line. I do one there. Yeah. And then I already yeah. know like what my timeline's going to look like, yeah. for that exactly.
I've had people write it on their arm. Mm-hmm. Like they know exactly like gel fluid, you know, they would yeah. just. Whatever has worked for them, but I've had people write that down based on their mile times and or mile distance, whatever works yeah. for them, you know? So,
yeah.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. So what are the biggest lessons that you've learned, do you think, through this running journey, nutrition, you know, all the things maybe since surgery that you'd like to share?
I think, you know, going through all of it from the beginning, from even pre-op weight loss surgery, was really just having the patience to do all of the requirements and then really figuring out where they were going next. And so like what the goal is going to be, because I just think like the trial and error can be so frustrating. In those early stages of weight loss surgery, it can be very hard mentally, physically, emotionally. It's hard on people around you, your family, you're frustrated, you don't feel good. And then you get to a point where it's like, I feel all right now. Now what's next? And figuring out what is next for you in life, because you've dealt with this for so long. And for me, it was running. It was finding that fitness and part of my life. But I think that being able to develop whatever your goal is and whatever you want to be able to do moving forward and having the patience and the people in place to support you to get there. I think that was the biggest change for me, mindset wise, was just having that support system and knowing like I wasn't alone in this. I didn't have to be alone in it. And there were people that could help me while I was trying to figure out things like nutrition and running and just living my life now as the person that I am, and just having that support, but being patient with the process. And because I know a lot of people will follow me now and see where I am now, but it's taken me 5 years to get where I am right now. And it wasn't fast. And there were, you go up and down and up and down, and it hasn't been perfect at all. But having that patience and just knowing that there's people out there that can help you and can help you get to where you want to be and help you achieve the goals that you want to do. I think that's the biggest thing for me at this point in my journey and my life and where I am.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, I appreciate that. And how about any advice that you might want to share with someone who maybe they want to begin training, they're listening and they're like, gosh, maybe in 2024, that's going to be my thing, is to start training. You know, do you have any advice for someone that's just kind of beginning?
Yeah, I think start researching it, figuring out what goal you want. What race do you want? Because I think that's the funnest part, is picking a race and knowing this is it. Like, this is what I am training for. It's not necessarily saying like I'm training for a marathon, but like I am training for this marathon and it is on this date. And putting it in stone, putting it out there, and being proud of the fact that you're putting in the work to get there, because the training is part of the accomplishment. You know, if someone, especially someone who is a weight loss surgery patient, finding a team, finding a nutritionist who also understands endurance running, because they don't, I know for me specifically in my hospital program, I did not have one that understood that part of my life. And I don't know that it's, I don't know that they still do have one. You see them a lot more in social media, where you can find someone to work with them electronically and through video, which is perfect. I think COVID, you know, what we talked about COVID doing some of, you know, what it did, it shut down the world, but it opened up some doors. There was a silver lining to this, and we have seen it time and time again through just opening doors for people and opening the ability to communicate with people differently. And, you know, that's part of it. I went through a time where I wouldn't have even known where to find a bariatric nutritionist that understood endurance running. And, so I think that's part of it. Definitely get that locked down, because it can be very frustrating to put in the amount of work you're going to put in to train and then feel like your body's not able to do the work you think it should be able to do. But there is help out there. And so I definitely think someone going into that, that is something I wish I would have done early, way early.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Getting help, reaching out. It's a great community out there. I know, like, that's, and that's why I love having people on like you that should share kind of your personal journey and things that you've learned, you know, along the way, and what's worked and what hasn't worked. And if that just helps one person, I mean, that's the whole point of this. And I know that that's what you do. I mean, you're a coach, you know, you're a social worker, you're trying to help folks. And I just so appreciate your time and all those things, because someone that's listening can say, hey, this might be a goal of 2024. I'm going to try to do some research. I'm going to pick a race. I'm going to try and find a coach, whether it's a running coach, a dietitian that can help me with this, you know, all those things. And that's helpful. So, I appreciate it. Well, can you tell folks where they can contact you, you know, your contact information, where can they reach out?
Yeah. So I know you introduced my primary account that started this whole thing, Jen Runs to Fit on Instagram. My coaching account is Jen_RiseOfRain. And it's linked to my other account as well. If someone was interested in run coaching, they can actually fill out our questionnaire actually on our website, which is www.riserainetraining.com. And that's also linked in my bio on my on both Instagram accounts, but there's a questionnaire inquiry form on that online. So should be pretty easy to find, but anyone can always message me and I'm happy to help.
I love it. Oh, thank you. And I will put that all that information, including the website, as well as both of your Instagram accounts, in the show notes. So folks, if you're listening, just scroll down and then you can click right on Jen's account. It'll go right to your Instagram as well as the website. That way folks can find you easily. Yeah. But I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time today and sharing your journey. I so appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I love that I was able to come on today and talk to you. It's been so fun.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it too. I'm glad I got to finally talk. I know I always say this on every other episode whenever I have guests. I'm like a total stalker and I stalk people online and I'm like, hey, you want to be on my podcast? So thank you for agreeing. Now you're making this podcast, you know, what it is, which is we're trying to just share people's journeys, but also evidence-backed, you know, information that people can say, yeah, there's not a ton of info out there for active bariatric individuals. So I love to share people's personal experiences because it can be done. You can run a marathon after having bariatric surgery.
Yeah. I'll be running 6 and 7. Maybe. Yeah, we'll see. So you can
see what we do.
Yep.
Absolutely. Awesome. Okay, well, you guys, give her a follow. Please check out the info in my show notes. That way you can find Jen. But you can also watch the full video of this podcast episode on my YouTube channel, the Active Bariatric Nutrition Channel. So please subscribe to it, give it a like. And then also, if you wouldn't mind, just share this podcast with maybe one other person that you think would find it helpful. Because again, we're just trying to share this information to as many people as we can and help someone along the way. And you can also follow me on my social media pages, which is Instagram, Active Bariatric, as well as my Facebook community, which is Active Bariatric Nutrition community page, TikTok channels, all those good things. And then, of course, if you'd like to learn more about my one-to-one bariatric nutrition coaching services, please go to my website, which is activebariatricnutrition.com, and schedule a free discovery call so we can learn more about each other. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for tuning in. First episode back in 2024. I'm so excited that I got to have Jen on as the first episode for this year and can't wait to see what else we do this year. So come back, check us out next week. Thanks, everybody.